And we're happy to go to the IntelliSystems phone and welcome in our good friend Larry Rudwick. Larry, the business tune-up guy, can be found on the web at businesstuneups.com. Larry, welcome back into the buzz. Thanks for spending time with us again today.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I really am. Had a good weekend and feeling good on this Monday. We wanted to continue, as we've been talking with you over the last couple of months, about communication skills, which are so relevant both on the job and in really every aspect of our lives. And you've done a great job over the previous few visits of showing how that relevancy, you know, may apply. You have relationships, whether they're on the job, whether they're at home, whether they're with friends at the Little League ballpark or whatever. Everything is a relationship, and how you communicate with those people can be vital to the success or ultimate failure of that particular relationship. And you wanted to continue talking about improving communication skills today with a focus on the choice of words and tones in your voice.
It's not just what you say, but how you say it often makes even more of the difference.
Doesn't every married man know that, Larry?
You would hope. You would hope.
He should, at least, huh?
Went on a trip to Bali once and learned from a guide there his secrets to success in a marriage. Very simple. Happy wife, happy life.
Well, yeah. It's Southern. We have a different phrase for that here in the South. Mom ain't happy, nobody's happy.
There you go.
But what your point is, tone and what you say is important.
You can say the same thing, and if you do it with a mean tone, it's going to come across one way. If you come across in a very empathetic and caring way, the message is going to sound completely different.
And the tone is not necessarily the words, because I could say all the right words, but if there's a tone of sarcasm or snarkiness or just really I don't care, you know, the transcript, Larry, would show that I said exactly the right things, but it can be how I say them also that can cause me the trouble.
Give you an example. You can in a very mean way say, get out of here, or in a very funny way you can say, get out of here.
Actually,
and it has two different meanings completely.
Completely different meanings. Well, you always tell us that if we're going to have a meaningful conversation, and this latest installment of Larry's great listening and observation skills, improving communications, is on page 25 of the current issue of the Buzz on Biz free monthly newspaper. And as we mentioned, it's available on Larry's website at businesstuneups.com. There on page 25, you use these as watch your words, watch your tones. An example you use is in an employee year-end review. But this is, I think you say in here, applicable everywhere and anywhere, but especially if it's an important conversation, the kind of conversation that requires planning ahead when you can actually choose the words.
You know, we're all faced with various situations. Some situations are light and they don't matter too much. Other situations we face from time to time are extremely serious, and the outcome is going to have a big effect on us and the other parties. And so if we are in a serious conversation, we should be thinking about it. We should be planning it out. We should perhaps get advice from other people before we actually take action and have communications.
Now, Larry, again, not every conversation allows you to plan it out ahead, although, you know, my mom would say count to 10 and think about your words carefully before you say them, so you can, even if it's just seconds before, you can sometimes plan out your responses. But your first tip, if you have the time ahead of time, is make sure you select age-appropriate words. Expand on that for me.
Well, sure. I mean, if you're going to talk to a 5-year-old, you're going to use words much different than if you're talking to a grown-up, your boss, or someone like that.
And I guess if you use the 5-year-old words with the boss, you run the risk of upsetting him or her. And if you use the grown-up words with the 5-year-old, you run the risk of the conversation being a waste of time.
That's true.
Larry, you also talk about people spend their time fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a waste of time, frankly.
It is a waste of time. We as humans waste a lot of time. Things we do can be very constructive,
right,
or they can be neutral, or they can be destructive. In fact, it's often easier to be destructive than constructive. After all, it takes a long time to build something. Look what happened in Boston, how quickly you can destroy things and change things. It's really not fair how much time and effort and money it takes to build something, and how little time and money it takes to destroy it. So it's the nature of life, unfortunately.
All right, another of your tips when you have time to prepare for an important conversation, along with selecting age-appropriate words, show empathy and understanding.
You want to hopefully truly care about the person and people you're going to talk with. if you don't care about them, it's going to show, and it's potentially going to go the wrong way. It's going to be destructive. It's going to be sort of like a cancer that grows. And so hopefully all of us, ideally, are caring about people.
But, Larry, we can't care about every single, I mean, deeply care about every single person we have a five-minute conversation with, can we? Is that a case of where you just be respectful and you know, because you don't know
sure.
them?
Well, you don't. But the point is, at least in a bare minimum, hopefully you'll care enough to realize, well, this person has something to offer me. Everyone has something. And if there's a reason to have a conversation with a particular person you don't really know, then there must be some kind of a win-win situation you're trying to accomplish. Caring enough about the person to make them realize, hey, we're in this together, and gee, if you could do this and I could do that, we'll create something positive and it'll be good for both of us.
You can care about them at least to the level of they are another human being. You've got mutual goals to be satisfied there, and if you work together, you can accomplish that. Now, you say in tip number three, that the basic format you like to use in an important conversation when you have time to prepare ahead of time, you follow sort of the same format. When initiating important communications, it's usually best to start with some positives and go from there for me.
I gave an example of my style of reviewing employees. It's a six-step process. Step number one is start off with something positive. Explain and things that you notice that this employee has done positive since the last review, be it 6 months or a year ago. Number two, then get into the problem areas. If you have a situation or a problem, a challenge that this person is causing or a challenge that this person can help out with, go into that in step number two. Step number three would talk about some neutral areas, things that are neither positive or negative. Step number four, ask questions. Ask them to ask questions to you and ask questions to them. Step number five is come up with some solutions. Figure out what goals should be accomplished over the next period of time until the next review. And lastly, normally when the subject of money comes up, discuss it last.
And again, that's Larry's preparation for an employee review. But the point of it, and it's a great example, is how to prepare your line of thought, prepare a format for any important conversation that you're going to have, any important communications. And the same thing holds whether it's oral communications, written communications, or whatever the method happens to be. Always a pleasure, sir.
Very good. Talk to you again soon.